Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in Monday night, that's the Raw. To the homies, I'm doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Been listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox, aka the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler talk. And if you ever met him, you know he knows it's wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection. Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. They on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as three count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez, this show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad. They rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah, yeah, Perfect Flex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw, go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Flex Radio, man. Y'all already know what it is.
Blog Talk again, do what Blog Talk does. Welcome back, everybody, to Perfect Plex Talk Radio. I am your host, the CEO, Mike Knox. That is spelled with three X's, people. Why? Because, like, the wrestling you are addicted to, like that girlfriend you never could get a chance to touch her in high school, no matter how much you thought she liked you, but frankly, you just wasn't me. A.K.A. Mr. BDSR Network, A.K.A. Mr. Blog Talk Radio, A.K.A. Mr. I Say What You Will Not Say, A.K.A. Big Daddy Knox. People, I'm joined as always by my co-host. He is the tag team specialist. He is live from the VIP. I hope this week he got some ID because them cops out there in New York ain't playing. But he is Spot Face Bayless. What's going on, Spot?
Nothing much, man. The VIP is not that happy. I lost my bet last week.
Uh-huh.
So Big Daddy Knox, what
right.
Do you do, player?
It's going fine. Listen, you got it. If you're gonna say the name right, and at least own up to that you lost the bet between the Brooklyn Nets, still the Nets, versus the Chicago Great Bulls. I mean, just come on, own it. Don't be intimidated by it. I mean, it's only for what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, man up. Big Daddy Knox, don't say it like you'd have lost your lunch something from school.
No grown man never like no grown man enjoys calling another grown man Big Daddy.
Well, I can have you call me Delicious. I just thought that was a better name for you to call me. So, you know, you make your choice. Is it going to be Delicious or is it going to be Big Daddy Knox? I think Big Daddy Knox is appropriate.
You really running with this one, bro.
I can't help it. Listen, people, today we got a packed show for you as always. As the franchise players, yours truly, Mike Knox, Spotface Bayless, and you, the crew. We're going to discuss, you know, it's the Raw preview. The preview was going to happen tonight. Why we got a preview? Because we got to talk about last week's Raw. What did you think about it, people? We want to talk about it. 347-637-3859. For all my TNA people out there, Spotface got his spotlight on TNA as always. And as always, I'm going to tell you why I'm hardcore, and it's going on right back this week. Also, people, we got a special interview for you, people. Listen, a.k.a. hashtag The Belt King meets hashtag The Belt Smith. Mr. Dave Milliken will be on the show in about 35 minutes discussing all the great titles in which he's made. You guys see me have, you guys want to have. I've made some of you guys go out there and empty out your bank accounts, not pay your rent, not have no love making with your wife, trying to be like a.k.a. Mr. Belt King. But it's okay, because you too can ride this ride if you was this tall and you was a lady. But we also going to talk about in this week's segment, the Mark Out-ism segment this week, and also in the three count. For all my UK fans out there, we're going to discuss the UK versus the U.S. crowd. Yes, people. People in the U.S., you need to step up your crowd game. Also, is Fandango really over? Or is it just a mirage, Spotface?
Oh, man, I can't wait to get into that one. I have so much to say about Fandango, a.k.a. I get my movie times and tickets off his site.
Hey, well, see your tickets only.
Word, like, yo, Iron Man on Thursday, I'm just saying.
Iron Man on Thursday. Also, we're going to discuss the upcoming, or we're going to discuss who you think is going to be on the future endeavor list coming up in the coming weeks. And also, the franchise players match of the week. That's right, player. The franchise players match of the week. We're going to take you back to Backlash 2001. Since the Brothers of Destruction is back, we're going to discuss the Brothers of Destruction versus the two-man power trip from Backlash. We want to hear from you, 347-637-3859. But as always, people, it's wrestling. You got to have some history. Why you got to have some history? Because, frankly, if you don't have no history, then what the hell are you doing here about wrestling? You can't talk to me if you don't know nothing outside the John Cena era. Well, if you're a kid, it's understandable, and then maybe I'll let you slide. You got to be a kid. But if you're a grown-ass man, you got to have your history. So, without further ado, Chad is back. And, Chad, give him the wrestling history, please. No music, no intro. You just got it. Go ahead.
All right. Welcome. It's a welcome, and I enjoyed being on the show. I missed it. What can I say? But let's go. This week in wrestling history, April 29th through May 5th. You know, Mike, it's kind of coincidental you mentioned that match because on April 29th, 2001, the WWF held Backlash at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. On the card, we saw Rhino retain his WWF Hardcore title, defeating Raven. William Regal defeated Chris Jericho in a Duchess of Queensberry rules match. Chris Benoit defeated Kurt Angle in the Ultimate Submission match. Shane McMahon defeated The Big Show in a Last Man Standing match. Matt Hardy retained his WWF European title, defeating Christian and Eddie Guerrero in a Triple Threat match. And in the main event, the two-man power trip of WWF champion Stone Cold Steve Austin and WWF Intercontinental champion Triple H defeated the Brothers of Destruction to win the WWF tag team titles. Last year on April 29th, WWE held Extreme Rules at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. On the card, we saw Cody Rhodes defeat The Big Show in a tables match to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Sheamus retained his World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Daniel Bryan in a 2-out-of-3 falls match. CM Punk retained his WWE Championship, defeating Chris Jericho in a Chicago street fight. And in the main event, John Cena defeated Brock Lesnar in his return match in the WWE in an Extreme Rules match. AWA held Super Clash 2 on May 2nd, 1987 at the Cow Palace in Daly City, California. On the event, we saw Sherry Martel pin Medusa Michelli to retain her AWA World Women's Championship. The Midnight Rockers and Ray Stevens defeated Buddy Wolf, Doug Summers, and Kevin Kelly in a six-man tag team match. Sheik Adnan Al-Kasi pinned Buck Zumoff. Jerry Blackwell pinned Boris Zukov. And in the main event, Kurt Hennig pinned Nick Bockwinkel to win the AWA World Heavyweight Championship. ECW WrestlePalooza took place on May 3rd, 1998 from the Cobb County Civic Center in Marietta, Georgia. On the event, Chris Candido and Lance Storm with Tammy Lynn Sitch retained their ECW World Tag Team titles, defeating the Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks of Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten. Bam Bam Bigelow defeated New Jack. Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman defeated the Dudley Boys, Rob Van Dam fought Sabu to a time limit draw in RVD's ECW World Television Championship. And in the main event, Shane Douglas retained his ECW World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Al Snow. Notable birthdays this week in wrestling, Paul Roma turns 53, WWE Diva Oksana turns 30, Dave Taylor turns 56, Human Tornado turns 30, Jay Lethal turns 28, one half of the primetime players, Titus O'Neil turns 36, Moondog Rex turns 63, Japanese deathmatch legend Mr. Pogo turns 62, WWE Hall of Famer Mr. Fuji turns 78, Brad Maddox turns 29, WWE Hall of Famer Cowboy Bill Watts turns 74, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson turns 41. Notable deaths this week in wrestling, Miss Elizabeth passed away on May 1st, 2003, at the age of 42 from an accidental drug overdose, and Ray the Crippler Stevens passed away on May 3rd, 1996, at the age of 60, after suffering a heart attack. That's what happened this week in wrestling history. Mike Knox, back to you.
Thanks, Chad, for that. I know, Spot, can you tell? Chad was like, damn, I ain't been on this show in so ever. The franchise players got me nervous. They're going to jump me? Right now, he don't know what's going on right now.
He was missing his intro music.
But that's what it was. It threw him completely off his game. It's okay. I apologize because I took it and I revamped the dashboard. So I don't know what the hell I put it under. But I'll find it next time you're on. I do apologize about that. But, Scott, I want
to
go right
I got something to alarm me. Wait, I got something to alarm me. Titus O'Neil is 36?
Hey, it's pretty goddamn old.
Titus O'Neil is 5 years younger than The Rock, and the WWE thinks that keeping him where they got them at currently is a good thing. By the time he break out of that, he'll be 46.
Well, they don't expect him to break out of that, first of all. So you
True
gotta,
that. True that. Go, let's get right into it, man.
Right. But this week in Markism, in the world of Mark Nation, for all you Marks out there who likes to read the dirt sheets, I'm going to give you a couple things in which I've come across. Now, just to let you guys know, not a spoiler, but tonight we will get John Cena and Ryback taking on the Shield spot face. What do you expect?
Man, Super Cena and the Terminator, if they couldn't do it with Sheamus as a tag partner, I believe, who's to say they're going to do it in a handicap match?
Well, we know that's all about being broke up and being broke down, and you know that's nothing. That match is just to have their feud go. So of course the Shield goes over tonight.
I'd much rather the Shield keep doing what they're doing with the Brothers of Destruction and Goat Face, or I should say the Goat Face of Destruction.
Well, see, here's the part that's crazy because that fight is scheduled for the night, but also getting word out of WWE champion John Cena is hurt. He hurt his Achilles over here at the World Tour. So we got that
injuries
going on.
In the NBA. The injuries in the WWE.
Also from the world of
wrestling isn't real. But wrestling isn't real, people.
Also from the world of Markisms. In Your House DVD set is coming out tomorrow, Spotface. Are you excited?
Really? I did not know that. You know, I don't live on the internet, but I'm definitely excited. I love the In Your House brand. We were just talking about it the other day.
Well,
you need to bring that back, in my opinion.
Right. Also, on Slack in the world of Markisms, like I said, the previews tonight. For all my indie fans, for all my Ring of Honor fans, there is an updated card for your Border Wars iPay-Per-View, which is going to be in Baltimore, Maryland. So yours truly might go down there and check that out. Go say hi to a couple friends of mine and see what's going on. But and also, remember a couple months back when I was like, yo, the WWE Network, they're going to end up having us at the Divas, going to end up having their own show. Well, guess
what?
What
do you do?
The Divas have their own show that's about to come out. Go figure. But we got Hugo also joining the panel today. Hugo, what's going on, big friend? How you doing?
What's going on, Mike? Hey, Spot, let me ask you, man. You going to renege back on your deal? I see how it is, man.
I'm not going to renege. I'm with my co-host and big brother, Big Daddy Knox, today, and I'm just here to enjoy myself in a great fashion.
Well, you enjoy it. That is my name. Say my name. I should have got that sound bite for the day, but I didn't get that. But let's go over. So we got the barbershop intact. Spot, last week's Raw. I mean, what did you get out of that Raw last week going into this week? Are you excited about this week's Raw, the Shield? Because for me right now, that's all I really got going on for myself is the Shield right now. That's all I really care about.
All I'm going to say is the Shield, and I'm intrigued with this Ryback. Ryback's interaction with Mick Foley last week. I'm tired of them using Jolly St. McNichols for these coming-of-age, you know, heel turns. For like, with Edge went psychotic, they brought in Mick Foley, and now they're doing it with Ryback. I think he did it with somebody else, and now they're doing it with Ryback as well. I mean, I don't mind it. I do think it helps, you know, helps him get over to some degree. But like you said, the Shield is what it is for WWE TV, and I hope they do it right and stick with that. So the Shield is must-see TV, but that's about it. I think I really think, as a wrestler fan, April is a dry month.
Chad Rivera, what do you think?
I don't know. From last week's Raw, what I pulled out, the Shield stuff was great. It was a highlight easily. It was that six-man tag. The other thing I pulled out from that show is I don't know who Antonio Cesaro pissed off or if they're gonna do like a losing gimmick, the loser gimmick, You know, that never works where a guy gets beat down into oblivion, and then especially with Cesaro, you know, he's kind of relatively new, so I don't know if he'll be able to pull himself out if he put him in that gimmick. But that's one thing I pulled away from that, is I have no idea what they're doing with him.
I don't think they have an idea what they're doing with Antonio right now. I'm with you. He had to definitely have maybe, just maybe, from what I heard, Ms. McMahon asked him to kiss his ass, and he wouldn't do it. And then when he finally decided to do it, he had chapped lips. And you know McMahon says you got to fucker up first.
Yeah. And then,
that probably did happen.
But, yeah, it looks like what Zack Ryder's looking to turn heel or, you know, whatever. And I don't know if he's doing it on his own accord or if he's doing all that stuff because he brought back the show. Kind of interested to see where that's going, even though it probably won't happen on Raw. We'll probably get it on Main Event or Superstars.
But, more than likely you get it on the best show that's coming to television soon this fall, which is NXT.
True, true. Could very well happen.
The crowd.
I don't know. I know.
I don't want to. You're right.
I
want to hold that. Matter of fact, because what anybody here got something to really say about last week's Raw outside the Shield? Because we can just fast forward and go into this week and get into some of those questions, like the crowd.
I want to say this, that the lack of diva participation is affecting the product. What I mean is, like, how they got the show coming up, these chicks don't even matter. Like, you gotta remember, we come from an era where even in the attitude of a China, Marlena,
Miss Jackie,
yeah, Miss Jackie, PMS, you know, Pretty Mean Sisters, they mattered. Lita mattered. Trish mattered. And it's like, you got these girls back there, and other than the Funkadactyls who's dancing,
but they matter. You know why they're there. They're there for the boys to have some fun in the back.
Yeah, but even back in the day, they were there for the fun in the back, but they would come out and do their job. I mean, look at Lita. She was passed around between TLC matches, literally. But I'm saying, she mattered when it was her time. She was there with S.A. Rios. It still matters.
She came in with S.A. Rios. And
no, actually, she came in as one of Godfather's hoes.
She did. She was a hoe.
She was
definitely a hoe.
And became, and literally, later on,
Who says you can't make a hoe a housewife?
Go figure. Ian Buck is trying to do it right now.
Trying to do it right now? Shh. Phil,
but
it's okay.
I think that lack of participation hurts the product.
I don't get how it hurts the product, though. Hugo, you have any idea what he's talking about? Because I don't get at all how the hell that hurts the product.
The only thing that's probably going to be relevant right now with the whole Divas thing is, you know, they're going to go ahead and possibly put this strap on AJ so they could make the, you know, the ultimate power couple. But that's it. It's not really relevant at all. It's not relevant at all.
And that's what hurts the product. They have no relevancy. So it's like, why even give them a segment? Like, give me another match. Give me some Cesaro. Give me some Sandow on the mic. Give me something else. You know, we've hit a speed bump. And I'm going to keep saying April is a dry month after Mania. It's not really many splashes being made. I think they...
What do you say about... I think there you go, being who you are. Okay, that's why the VIP. That's why the VIP is quiet today, because you're going back and you don't give nothing a chance. Do your lady get mad when you're always done in like 5 or 10 minutes?
Seriously. Never done in 5 to 10. Always 25 or better.
Okay, well, I'm trying to have a hard time figuring out why you started rush wrestling so much. Then, if that's the case,
I'm not trying to rush wrestling. I'm just trying to see some evolution to it.
Let me say this. I can give a damn. With all due respect to the divas out there and the ladies trying to get into wrestling, I care at a point. But right now, can we get the men back on track? You worried about seeing some HLA when the men is still trying to get back focused.
Of course, it's a dry spell.
Get it? Anyway, of course it's a dry spell right now. They're overseas. No offense to my European crowd. They're tired.
Wow.
They're tired. No, I'm just saying they're tired.
There is a dry spell. There was no Divas title match at Mania. There is a dry spell. And what I'm saying is, let's start with the small and work with the bigger. They're not going to get the men right overnight. So focus on getting the ladies right at least. Do a Divas title.
So let me get a vote here from the barbershop. Chad, Hugo, do you give a damn about the Divas before you care about the Shield doing something better or Sandow doing something better? Because I think Spotface is just horny.
I think I know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say. I'd definitely rather see the Shield before answering that.
Right,
but
like you.
I'll agree that the division definitely needs some retooling and some actual matches and
I'm not knocking that either. I'm just saying it's kind of, you know, it's a further thing away from my mind.
All I'm saying is start from somewhere. That's all.
I think they're going to. Again, I'm a big fan of what I've seen with the company, and guess what? It's okay. If you don't like it, listen anyway. 347-637-3859. But let's touch on the crowd. That's one of my questions this week in three count, because I'm trying to figure out why after WrestleMania crowds can be hyped, which obviously we know why, but also how come the UK is always like that. And, of course, they get them once a year during that area, so to speak. And we kind of get oversaturated with them as fans. Why? Because we all don't go to wrestling every week. We all don't. You know, they're in different towns, in different cities. But yet the American crowd always wants to be spot-faced through the whole crowd. Oh, I want something to pop off. This is too slow. When I said 2 weeks ago, which I stand firm by, we as fans, look what the power of fans, because remember, Spot, who screwed the fans? Was it Vince McMahon?
The fans screwed the fans.
The fans screwed the fans. So last week, the fans had an opportunity to piggyback from Jersey and didn't do it. Jersey crowd changed what they had planned on the card. And I think if it continued that way, which in my opinion, again, I thought they were looking for the crowd to do, they couldn't do it. But when they went overseas, look what happened. Spot?
Well, that's because, like you say, we do get oversaturated with it.
What are we oversaturated more than they are?
We are oversaturated with it because they're always here.
Okay.
Like,
they're always, do you go all the time?
No, I don't go all the time,
okay.
And you know my reasons for that.
Okay.
For the UK, this was their WrestleMania, to have the WWE come out there for a world tour. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, old fans, new fans.
They go
young
to WrestleMania. I know more overseas people that went than people I knew personally.
But what I'm saying is for those who can't afford to go to the States and spend that money, they're on their turf. So they get to see them walking around and about, and it's a big thing. You know, people call out of work. People, you know, do what they got to do for their lives.
Here. The Marks do that here.
Okay, well, we're talking internationally. The UK, they just take it over differently. It's like when you watch boxing matches or MMA matches. The foreign fans are fanatics. They're fanatics. We want to see something innovative. We want to see something that's going to be bang for the buck. And they're just happy for the experience. That's
okay.
The difference.
Hugo, where are you staying with this one?
You know what? The UK fans or anywhere around the world, like you guys said, they pretty much just get it maybe once or twice a year. The only thing is that you got to understand that also fans overseas, and I'm going to say this because I'm from South America. You know, we're very passionate when it comes to our sports and when it comes to, in this essence, this is like a sport to them. You know, you got especially a lot of hooligans up in England where, you know, their biggest thing is soccer. And so they always incorporate that soccerism into any sport that they actually go to. Mm-hmm. Fans here in the United States, unfortunately, you know, they're not as passionate as when it comes to their sports as they are overseas. Now, you go to other. Hold up.
What are you talking about? You're gonna tell me that
you go to a soccer match in England when you have 50,000. Okay,
I want to interject with the part you said about we're not as passionate about our sports teams because I don't know what city you live in, but in Philadelphia they will kick your ass if you're not a fan. In DC, in Baltimore, in New York City, these are passionate fans. So I just think you spoke that part out, but I get what you're saying about the soccer influence that they add to it.
Right.
But don't say we're not passionate because I'm a fanatic.
All right. Well, I retrain. I do live in Miami, Mike. So you know how it is down here. We're fair weather fans.
Down
here.
Right. I'm born in Miami.
Y'all come to the third quarter anyway.
You want to go see some lady on the beach? Before I get Chad and put Jazz Kumar overseas, UK checking in. Shout out to the Smack Talk Center and the man that makes every single one of my flyers for me. And I can say I need a flyer in like 20 minutes. He say, "Damn, I got you." then he does it. But he said, trust me. He says, it's good here because we don't get it as usual as you guys do. But if we did have it on a regular time, it would be the same great all the time as it is now. Trust me. And I think they're like that. I think because they're like that. Japan gets wrestling. Maybe not WWE. But, and he's still so at the Tokyo Dome. Chad, what you got to say?
As for the crowds of last week, I thought it kind of came off as a cheap version of the New Jersey crowd. They were giving it too much. But I will say the UK crowds are great, though. I mean, I'm not going to deny their influence in past events that they've had, especially even on the indie scene over there. They're so rabid, and, you know, they have great chants that come up with it. And they're definitely passionate overseas, and especially with the WWE product. Yeah, definitely. A lot of them, you know, it's still legitimized in some countries. You know, they advertise it and, like, report it on their versions of ESPN.
Right. See, my thing, though, if this was India, then maybe I could say that. But the UK get everything we get, except just not as often to their town. But they get it. They get just as many UFC events as anybody in the country. They're always back and forth to the UK. And they sell out. I think that America, like, we are widely known as, or just lazy. They see, you could call it a rip-off crowd, and I can't rip you for that, because in many ways they kind of, you know, it did emulate it. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, and he sent me a message, I think, I did read it. That's what you wrote. In many ways, I think that what happened in Miami, I got to go back to that because we were there, and I keep telling the story because it was true. They didn't do the yes chant because they were all fans of Daniel Bryan, the American Dragon. They did the yes chant because it was cool to do, and we were just all saying yes because we were going in every event, and it carried over. The Fandango, they were so bored at the pay-per-view. I mean, you know, I think you got to do that. When you we're they call us the WWE Universe, right? For as much as some of us hate it, you know, it's what it is. We are a universe. Like I said, we're like glad we can put people in the White House if we all get together enough. I believe that as wrestling fans. We're crazy. But with that craziness, we got to take that hatred for the dislike that we like and flow. The only thing they have not changed is Cena. And we got to open our eyes and say they're not going to change Cena. At least I still don't think so anytime soon. A, I don't think he could ever be a bad guy where anybody at any level will respect him. And they can't afford to lose the kids they do got that still cheer him, despite other kids still not liking him. I see kids all day long, from little kids to, you know, I mean, I say I'm not going to go high school level, but like middle school. This girl loves John Cena, wearing John Cena shirts on my bus all the time. But go ahead, Chad, still finish your point. I know I did cut you off.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just trying to think. I don't know, because you do have great crowds in the U.S. and your metropolitan New York right there, and you got it over in Chicago. Even outside in Toronto, they always provide a great crowd up in Canada. So,
right, and Canada's
I've
always
on that
great.
Level.
Right. See,
yeah,
I'm saying, like you just said, Canada's always great. New York's always – well, New York and Philly, the last few times out, were bored. And what he said is – and he didn't add that part. You didn't write it, right? Or maybe you did. I didn't read it right. Whatever. Two tears in a bucket. You know the rest. He's saying, it wouldn't be as great unless they started showcasing more UK talent. And I think that they benefit from doing that. And the same way, Spot, you had said before about when they were in WrestleMania, why not have Mark Henry be there? He lives there. You know, they got – That's definitely where the WWE has to step up for a crowd to get back in there. You got to bring out the hometown talent.
And one thing I thought that was smart last week that WWE did with their crowd was with their Fandango match. You know, he's still trying to be a heel in the gimmick Fandango is, and they knew the crowd was going to cheer him. So who they put him against? William Regal, someone that you can hopefully get some heat on Fandango for doing that. I thought that was real smart last week, a thing that I forgot to mention earlier in our segment.
Because they don't want to see him face. So I see with that one, and I could see how that could have gotten me skewed, because how they did with Daniel Bryan, he was a heel, and the yes chant made him it made him face in so many words. But 347-637-3859 Spot, go ahead and jump in there before I change subjects.
Nah, man, it's just like I was sitting there thinking, like the big cities give the WWE their love here. They're like, we'll take over the crowd in L.A., in Philly, Chicago, New York. It's when they go to Alabama and when they go, you know, to places that they're just happy wrestling's in town. Like, they're just happy that the WWE is in town, so they're going to appreciate it for what it is and not take control over it.
Well, look where SmackDown was. this past week, and you mentioned that again yet before back in the day. Going back to, I remember when I first moved here, Raw was at University of Delaware. Now all they get is house shows.
Yeah, but see, the college fans is different. That attitude ever was just
right.
Different.
But think about it. Why not still go back to that college area?
Because unless you're going to put over the guys that the Dolph Ziggler's, the Sami and Sandow,
they're putting those guys over. If it's for that week, right? Because lately we found out. At least I still say wins and losses means nothing in wrestling. It's all about the pay-per-view and the titles they carry over. So all the talk about Dolph Ziggler not ever going to get the push, and we said this last week, I will come at any and everybody who wants to call this channel, including people that are on this network. I hope he's listening. If he's not listening, I'm not talking behind your back. I'm saying it to you live and in color on Stitcher. Yes, we're on Stitcher and iTunes. Yes, we're in iTunes and on BDSRnetwork.com. Not a cheap pop because the website isn't cheap. However, if you want to argue Dolph Ziggler being champion for a significant amount of time, guess what, people? It's a SmackDown title. So he will hold that title as long as SmackDown and Raw fans still cheer. But go ahead, Spotface. I got to make a phone call.
Yeah, but like I was saying, I just feel like the fans, the college fans was different. Chad, I know you could attest to this. Remember that Raw when Y2J beat Triple H for the title and then they took it back?
I remember that. Broke his arm. That was great.
Right. Right, but remember how that crowd was? Remember how that crowd was so ecstatic to see Y2J take the belt?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, the fans, we were invested in. These guys, the WWE don't give us those guys to invest in where I would go crazy and lose my voice over Sandow defeating John Cena. You know what I mean? For a number one contender slot or something like that, or even for the title just for a week. Like, they don't do that no more. So, us fans, we sit there, it's like boring. We've seen that before. Why did I, you know, I could imagine spending your 150s or whatever amount of money to an event, and you realize you see the same loss on TV last week that you're getting live and in person with the money you spent. Who wants to enjoy that? Would you enjoy that, Hugo?
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say exactly what you said, though, Spy. You know, it is a different era and everything. And you were right. I was gonna go ahead and assess to that point. You go to Greenville, South Carolina, you can't compare that crowd to a New York City or a Philadelphia or a Chicago crowd. You know, and that's where pretty much the WWE is trying to go ahead and market so they can actually do what you're saying they want to do, and that's giving the same old crap every single week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just hard. Like I said, I think WWE is oversaturated in terms of television. I think going back to the brand extension didn't help because you didn't get to see the same faces on every programming. I don't need to see Dolph
exactly.
Monday, Dolph on Friday, and then Dolph again at the pay-per-view because now it's like too much Dolph, and I've seen him lose two out of the three times during the week.
Well, I agree with that, but I can see Dolph all the time. No broke back. That's what I was going to have you say before we go there. People, do me a favor because this is what we do around here. You ask for interviews. We give you interviews. Now, I like to call myself the Belt King. And honestly, I'm the Belt King to y'all. But I found people in other lands, and there's more than one king, that has more belts than me. But you cannot have a belt and not have a belt smith. Listen, people, he's made belts for WCCW. He's made belts for the UWF. Hell, he's even made belts for the UFC. Stand on your feet, people, because listen, I got belts, and I love championships, so I know you do too. He is the champion, the people's champion, when it comes to title belts. Stand on your feet for Dave Milliken!
Wow, how can somebody live up to all that, man?
Very simple, sir, by saying, yes, Mike Knox, I will make you a belt. Yes, I will make you a belt. How you doing,
yes,
sir?
Mike Knox. I'm here, man. That's what I'm here for. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I am amazed. And actually, you know, there's not many times I have mark out moments. They're just not, you know.
I'm honored, and thanks for having me on.
I thank you for giving us such great championship belts to buy and to look at. But first of all, if you guys don't know who I'm talking to, this is Dave Milliken's people. And listen, if you have any idea what I'm talking about, it's this title just came out. I like to refer to it as simply just the belt, because it's that damn good in the world of championship belts. I really truly love this belt. He's recently created your new WWE title, which The Rock debuted a little bit over a month ago. Dave, now I'm going to just jump into a straight answer. There's rumors there's two different titles that was made. I don't like to read the dirt sheets and believe them until I get the people on my show personally to ask them. Did you make two versions of that title, and why?
Well, we've made several of them already, because WWE always has backup belts.
Okay.
So we've made several. The early process, they showed us all kind of stuff that didn't end up being made. They've showed some of them on WWE.com. They didn't show all of them. But they've showed some of the ones that were passed on. But there's more than one. They have backups for everything, all the World Heavyweight Championship, Intercontinental Championship. They have backup belts for all those because, it's big business, man. And if something happens, somebody steals a belt, somebody breaks a belt, whatever, you got to have a backup.
So how often – now, I know you've been in the business for over 20 years, and I got to say this. When I have every belt I think I can possibly want, but you have this belt that you made. To me, which is to me, people, if you don't like it, listen anyway. It's to me, it's my opinion. The NWA television title, to me, the greatest looking championship ever made. Yes, more than a Million Dollar Man belt. I own that too. But it's something about that silver and red. Did you have a part in making that title?
You know, I've replicated it many, many times. I get a lot of credit that I probably don't deserve for the originals, because the man that got me in the belt business, Reggie Parks, is a guy that did those original belts. And Reggie brought me in and opened a lot of doors for me, gave me instant credibility. And I like to think I earned it, but he also he definitely opened some doors for me. And, even going back to when I was a kid, Reggie was the guy making those belts. So Reggie made the original, and I've replicated it many, many times over.
Okay, now, what was probably one of the best belts you've ever created? Like, you've made, like, a tattoo artist. That's what you are. You're an artist. You've made this, and you say, damn, that is a good-looking title.
Our crew, and it consists of Rico Mann, who is our chief artist and stuff. Reggie still does some stuff. Reggie is actually, I think 77 years old and still going strong, still making belts too. But our crew, and Rico designed this, and I think one of the ones I'm most proud of would be the last IWGP belt. I mean, which is just a monster of a belt. I'm very, very proud of that one.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one now. Yes, it is. That is a big plate.
Yeah, it's a big belt. It's a big, heavy. It's funny because WWE's always, lighten the belt up as much as you can, but the Japanese don't care how heavy it is. They just want it to look prestigious, and it is a heavy belt.
See, I think wrestling's missing that right there. That part you said right there, having something that looks prestigious, like the World Heavyweight Championship, still the belt that everybody still recognizes as the champion. If they can say WWE because Vince owns it, but we know the world looked at that World Heavyweight Championship as the belt, to compare to Ric Flair. I got one of my co-hosts here right here. Spot, what's my name?
Really? I said not to do this during the interview. Big Daddy Knox.
Yeah, see, Dave, he lost the belt because he's from Brooklyn and he's a Nets fan, and I'm from Chicago, so he lost the belt, so he has to call me by my Twitter name. But go ahead, Spot. I had to get that in there.
Dave, a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Again, I would like to know, I'm a mid-card fan, right? So I'm a European title fan, Intercontinental title, U.S. title. What is your favorite mid-card title? What is your favorite mid-card title that you have made, and why?
I think I'd stick with the Intercontinental, man. Although, the white leather is hard to maintain and stuff, and I kind of like the black leather version. I think I'd have to go with the Intercontinental. I mean, it started with Reggie. It transferred over to me. Reggie made the ones in the 80s. I'm making them now, and I think I'd stick with that one, man. I'm a big fan of that Intercontinental design.
What happened to the purple leather one?
The purple one was... Yeah, it is in the hands of a private collector now. Sometimes those things just get away, and that's one of them that got away, and it's actually owned by a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
That's your title. I'm not knocking it. That's your title. Now, Dave, I own 14.
Wow.
My own 14. I had the yellow, the yellow, the white Intercontinental. I was actually in SmackDown magazine with my titles before. I've been featured several times, and but I need to get like I'm talking to you after the air, but because I like I said, I it's just so many titles that I want. Like I love the tag team belts that no one seems to love, and I just think everybody is off their rocker when it comes to not loving the tag team title belts.
There was a lot of discussion about that before they even debuted, and I tried to obviously it didn't work, but I tried to sway them away from the copper look, and they really wanted the copper look, and a lot of people say, well, they're the big pennies, and I don't think you understand. You're not insulting them when you call them that, because that's the look they were going for. So,
exactly. Because that's the look from back in that time and what the Trojan, you know, the Trojans helped represent.
Right.
That's what
right.
they had.
Exactly.
That's what that was prestigious back then. But when you had your chance in getting it, and what color would you have made it in second to go with that? If one was to order that from you, can they get them plates customized?
We don't really customize those because the licensing doesn't allow for it. I mean, I can change little things about the leather, things like that, but I'm not allowed to change the WWE-owned artwork.
Okay.
So, you know, I can do little things with the leather, things like that, that they don't care about, but I can't alter the design itself because they own it. That's one of the things that changes. Like, they brought back our Intercontinental design, which is the one I was speaking of earlier, and we own that. So we work with them on that with licensing it. But by and large, they own their belt design. So, you know, I kind of got to play their game with those.
347-637-3859. We have another member of the barbershop here. His name is Chad Rivera. He's my news guy. He's my historian. Hey, Chad, you got a question for the belt smith. No disrespect needed right there. We can't have belts without the smith. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I just got just a couple questions. Just how did the process come to be like one day you just want to say, hey, I want to get in the title belt business? How did that come about?
Being a big fan when I was a kid and doing what a lot of kids do when you didn't have anything else, you know, you got to keep in mind that I'm in my mid-40s. So back in those days, you know, we didn't have a lot to work with around the house making belts up. So I started with cardboard and wrapped in aluminum foil and
that's
all
right.
The, you know, classic looks like that. Because in those days, you didn't there was no internet to jump on and buy a replica belt, you know. So I just started that. And over the years, the materials got better. And I decided that as a young man, I was going to order my first Reggie Parks belt. He was the guy that was making the majority of what we saw on television. And I started talking to Reggie, and the friendship grew from that. And he said, well, why don't you make them how I make them? And opened that door for me. And that
wow.
was almost 20 years ago in itself, and I'm still around. So there we go.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. And how did you get into business with the WWE and you know, WWF at the time? Was it kind of word of mouth thing? Did you branch out to them? Did they just happen to stumble across you guys' titles? How did that kind of come together?
A little bit of all that, really. What had happened was they had approached us probably, I want to say, 7 or 8 years ago. And the guy that was handling a lot of our business at the time, he's passed away now, but his name was Ed Schumann. And Ed just wasn't able to make a deal with him, and it just didn't land. It just didn't work out. You know, keeping in mind that Reggie had ended the relationship with him in 1996. And we just weren't able to make it work. They came to me again about 5 years ago and came to me directly. And Ed and I handled business a little bit differently, so I was able to make it work, and that was it. But they've admitted to me since then that the guy who's everybody's heard of and has been a friend of mine for many years, but they asked my buddy, the King Jerry Lawler, they happened to ask him, says, what about this guy? You know, is his work what we think it is? And he said, I don't know why you wasn't using him years ago. So little added promotion from the King there didn't hurt.
That's always good to have that 6 degrees of separation. See?
Yeah.
Now I know you who make them. I have no 6 degrees. It's just 1 degree, you and I. So when y'all see three X's around my waist, y'all know where I got my title from. Because this coming, people, I will no longer continue to wear somebody else's licensing. I need my own. 347-637-3859. We got one of our biggest fans here on the network, Hugo the Latin Lover, I call him, no broke back. Hugo, you got a question for the belt smith, Mr. Dave Milligan?
Hey, what's going on, Dave? It's definitely a pleasure to meet you, my friend, you know, to talk to you. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
My question to you is, are you also designing TNA belt as well?
My relationship with TNA was from the beginning up until about, I want to say maybe three and a half years ago, and we kind of had a parting of the ways. And I really don't have any idea if they're still using any of my stuff or not, to be honest with you. I hadn't seen it in a long time. But I did the belts for a number of years for them, even back in the old NWA TNA days, and on up through the first TNA heavyweight title and all that stuff.
So you were the creator of the original, though, WWE European Championship, huh? Because that's actually my favorite belt, to be honest with you.
I wish I could take credit for that one. It's kind of a classic Reggie look, but it actually was the previous guy from Ohio who made their belts, including the spinner and all that stuff, for years before they had a parting of the ways with him. But that actually was, you know, one of the things about that belt was it kind of borrowed from our look anyway. It was kind of the classic Parks and Milliken look anyway. So we always kind of felt like it was a nod to us in the first place. And it is a great looking belt.
Okay, so I want to know, then, this is my face again. How long is the process in making a championship belt? What's the process?
You know, it can be anywhere from 3 or 4 weeks, depending on how complicated it is, to months. And there's such a long collector backlog because any given time I've got between 70 and 100 belts in the works, and that's combined. Mm. That's everything. That's collector belts. That's belts for WWE. That's belts for MMA. That, you know, it's everything. And of course, the companies have to come first. So the collectors, you know, wait a long time to get their belts. But I always like to tell everybody, and it's true, you know, if you don't hang the, you know, in some of the instances of the TNA belts were hanging over the ring and they were swinging from them and breaking stuff on them. And if you treat your belt well, there's no reason it won't last a lifetime. So you wait a little while to get it, but in the long run, you know, if you take care of it, you'll have it for the rest of your life if you want to.
Now, Dave, now, out of my 14 that I have maybe, well, I'm not going to lie, I have 3 real leather ones.
Right.
How long will the synthetic leather ones that I have last? Because I like what you said there, and I don't really take my belts out too much unless I'm going to an event, because I'm just arrogant like that. I like to be the center of attention. I like to be the show, like the wrestler, so I go to get – I do. I go to get – I've gotten pictures with hundreds and hundreds of people that I don't even know. Just walk
that's
up
and – That's
what belts
are all about, man. That's what having belts are all about.
But some of them do snap off, like my yellow Intercontinental, the plate actually snapped from the back – of the, you know, you screw it in the back where the screw
right.
came off. It just came off. I have a few that did that. I have a few, like, ones that were not that before I came across your website. I knew about you, but knew that you had the website. I was getting from the Wrestling Superstore. Sorry.
Right.
But
they're two different animals. I mean, you know, they're entirely different things. I mean, those replicas are great for what they are, but those are factory-made replicas. And don't get me wrong, I'm not down in what you got. You clearly
right.
got a lot of money tied up in them. They're great for what they are, man. I wish I'd had them when I was younger and I was out there wanting to show them off like that too. But those are machine belts. They're factory made, and you know what we're doing are the handmade belts. The ones on TV are not factory made, and it's just kind of a whole different animal. That's why there's such a price difference. You know, you'll spend $300-$500 on the replicas, you know,
right.
and you're going to spend a few times that for the real ones. So I mean, that's the difference in that, you know, it's handmade. Something can go wrong. If it does, we stand behind it. We fix it, as long as it's not just from somebody acting like an idiot and abusing it. You know, and so, you know, they're just entirely different things. The replicas are great, man. I mean, again, I'll say I wish I had them when I was younger and was making them out of cardboard.
Well, I like what you said that, because that's the reason why I asked the questions. People can know the difference between the factory that's making it and getting the love that you guys would put into one. And, again, a guy like myself who has purchased them because it was a good, you know, $500,
sure.
$400 to put my hands
sure.
on it for the time, that's not the ones. Like my real ones, they don't leave the house. You know
right.
what I mean? They don't leave the house.
Right.
I have a question coming in from the U.K. Our U.K. crowd is listening. Says, Are you aware that the WWE had lost the original $1 million title belt?
I've heard that. It's not something I've ever asked him about. I had heard it, but I mean, I have no idea if it was if that was true or not. So, you know, I mean, I had heard the story too.
Now, since I got you here, my tag team partner, can you possibly fuse a title together like a Eurocontinental title? And merge
yeah.
half purple and half old school, I mean, that Intercontinental as well?
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I think we could probably do that. That would take some doing, but I think it could be tough.
Hear that, Spot?
That's great.
You hear that,
that
Spot?
Is great.
Now you can buy. Go ahead. You can tell your own story.
Because I am the hugest Eurocontinental fan. I just love the, like you said, the classic look of the European, and you know your guys work on the Intercontinental. I just think those two belts don't get enough love in the history of belt, you know, belt collection and belt making. That those two belts were perfect.
I don't know how we'd make them meet in the middle exactly, but who knows, man? That's part of what we do is figuring things like that out.
Like the WWE women's title when they had the two heartbreak belts, put them together.
Yeah, they actually used the mass produced belts for that. They just cut one in half and used that instead of cutting one of the more expensive ones in half. It was a pretty good idea. That's what I would have done too if I was going to cut one in half. So, cut the one in half is worth a few $100s, not a couple of grand. So yeah,
I hear that. A few more questions, Brian. Your time is short with us, Dave, and I thank you for calling in. 347-637-3859. A question from the chat room. King Vaughn asks, what is your favorite title, perhaps, between the Winged Eagle title and the Big Gold WCW title?
Oh, wow. Talk about a tough one, man. Because you start talking about that original Big Gold, man, you're talking, probably the most expensive wrestling title belt in history.
How much? More than $1 million man title?
I'm not exactly. I think they're probably very comparable. I mean, because, the $1 million title was, I think, probably something like $30,000 or something like that. So, I mean, they were probably comparable. $1 million belt might have even cost a little bit more. Certainly wasn't anywhere near $1 million,
Right, absolutely.
All know, but I would probably, from a business standpoint, I go with the Winged Eagle. It's a staple of our catalog of belts. That started with Reggie and has passed over to me, and I'd go with that one. But as far as being a fan, oh man, I don't know that I could. I've said this a million times. I'm like a broken record every time somebody asks me, but it's just the truth. It's like asking me to pick my favorite kid. it's very tough. I don't know that I could do it. From a business standpoint, I'll go Winged Eagle because it's ours. We own it.
Okay, that makes sense.
so I'll go with that. From a fan standpoint, I can't call it.
So, okay, 347-637-3859. Now, I've seen you. Did you make, same question. How many of the UFC titles did you actually were privileged to making in their division?
Oh, wow. A few years ago, they started getting factory-made belts, and it was a long, long story about us. We were going to merchandise mass-produced belts with them, and they took that and decided to use the mass-produced belts for their titles. But before that, they used to order six at a time. We would send them six. They'd order six more, and we did that for years, man. So I don't even know how many we made. Tons.
Wow. Now, I see that you and Reggie, Mr. Reggie Parks, he taught you your game. What titles did you guys have your hand in making back in the WCCW, UWF, AWA? I was a huge, huge UWF fan. Missing Link. All those guys, the Blade Runners, all those guys, to me, what changed wrestling in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s came from the UWF.
Yeah, credit where it's due, man. Credit where it's due. Reggie started all that. You got to remember, back in the 80s, man, I mean, I was pretty young myself, and I did belts on the side while I was having other jobs and stuff, but it wasn't until the internet took off that I, threw the site up and started making my living strictly off belts. And, credit where it's due. All those original Reggie, I've replicated every single one of them, man. We've got the original art. That's the great thing about the doors Reggie opened for me is that, we now co-own the catalog of artwork. I've got all that original UWF art that you're talking about replicated. I'm making a UWF TV belt for somebody right now. I'm making a UWF heavyweight belt for somebody right now. The tags are the only ones that I've only replicated once. The others I've replicated many times. So back in the original days, I was watching them just like you were. And then that's just something I was blessed to be a part of that got passed over to me after hooking up with Reggie in probably 94, I think it was.
So how close are you to actually getting your yacht? Or do you already have your yacht?
No, man. I think if anything, I blow too much money on my, collecting ring used belts and things like that I'd like to have. So, no yachts for me, just closet full of belts.
No yacht for you. Two more quick questions. one, and I'm gonna customize your question, King Vaughn, in the chat room. You know, he's talking about the customized titles between Austin, Edge, Rock, you know, Cena, things like that. A part way is why have Hitman not had his own probably on customized title, and what to the rumors of the picture they did give was not rumors. Now we know it's official. You said it, WWE.com put it with all the different belt ideas. And can a person order a belt and get what Cena has on his now and what The Rock had on his, or is that just customized just for the company to have?
I will try to remember all that, so you might have to guide me back through it. I'm going to go back with the last one because that's fresh in my mind. We're not making the real versions of that belt of the current title for fans, and the reason is because it's so labor intensive. It takes so much time that if you think we're backed up now, I mean, you know,
talking about the customizing of them or just making them.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the belt in general, and as far as customizing it, I think the Wrestling Superstore people will probably be putting out the different relief plates for the sides as they go along. That's why they made them removable. So I expect them to go out. I know we've passed artwork along for the Rock side plate and for the Cena side plate to them for them to use to replicate through their, you know, their factory made process. So I expect that those will be available. I've not got it confirmed for them, but I don't know why else they would need the artwork. So I'm sure they're going to be offering them.
And when some of the customized titles, was there ever one made for the Hitman that no one ever saw?
Hitman, there we go. No, not that I'm aware of. I don't think he was really that kind of guy. I think he was a traditionalist, and I mean, it's just my opinion. I don't think he ever wanted a custom belt for himself. I've met him a couple times and really enjoy talking with him and stuff. He seems to me to be the kind of, he was just a traditional kind of guy out of a wrestling family. I think he was very happy to just carry the title as it was. I don't think he really wanted anything customized.
Okay. Spot, you got another question before we let our guests go?
The Wing Eagle title, and I love that belt. It's classic, Dave. The Ultimate Warrior changing it with the blue leather.
Right.
How was that difficult to do?
Well, not really, because he didn't do what a lot of people, you know, thought he did. He really wasn't changing the same belt over. He was just getting different belts made, and I believe he actually still has some of those belts. You know, that he was just getting different ones made, and that was that. We weren't really changing them over. Getting them back and changing the leather. I mean, he had a couple of different blue ones. He had a couple of different white ones. And of course, everybody knows the yellow Intercontinental belt. He had that one.
Were these guys paying for them themselves, or do you think the company was paying for them?
No, the company was paying for them. Warriors run was big enough, and they were putting enough into him that the company was handling all that stuff.
Well, okay.
Same with the Steve Austin belt, all that stuff. I mean, you know, that was all just WWE stuff. I mean, Steve did pitch the idea to him from a Road Warriors idea the Road Warriors gave him. I think specifically Animal the Road Warriors, but you know, the company's on board. Like when they see a chance to get a hold of something like that, then especially with a top guy, you know, like Steve Austin. Or, you know, or like the, and that's kind of the thing with the current title. I mean, instead of nameplates, you do the different logos on the sides, and that way it just makes it personal. And this way, they don't have to have a new belt every time. They change the side plates out, and you got the logos. You know, the Colonel's got the John Cena logos on it. Of course, the Rock had the Rock logo. So it's just a way to personalize it without having a whole new belt every time.
Well, Dave, did you like making the spinner belts?
Well, I didn't make them, and I was glad not to. No, as a matter of fact, they asked me about 2 years ago, I think it was, give or take, if I could make one. I said, can I? Yes. Do I want to? No.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And I said, you know, get back with me if that's what we need to do. But it didn't happen, and I was okay with that.
See, now you're making me feel weird because I have two of them. I have the U.S. one. I have the U.S. one. I have the world title when it came out.
No, you got to understand something. Walking around with it and enjoying it that way is one thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, you like what you like, man. But making that is an altogether,
I can
know,
see that being a
different.
Hard thing to do. I think my wife for them, because she started them off for me. She bought them. I give my wife all the credit. Mrs. Knox in there, she buys everything. People say, why you got belts? You ain't no wrestler. I say, yes, I am. I have championship belts because I'm a husband. I'm a father. So I keep getting belts every time I do something good. Dave, I want to thank you so much for coming on, giving us your time. And if you can hold 1 second when I let the show run its course, I just want to thank you again for coming on. People, stand up, for real. Stand up. Give your applauses for this man right here. Y'all looking at titles that are being made. You want titles. Matter of fact, you want a real title, just go to DaveMillicanBelts.com, DaveMillicanBelts.com. Stop being a groupie and don't participate. Don't just admire the man's belts. He has kids. He has a house. Buy a belt. Because I'm finna order two right now. Okay? So make sure y'all go to this man. Seriously. Him, Reggie Parks, they're doing it through his website. You can see everything on there, all what he's done out there. Dave, where can people get you on your own? You got a Twitter? I know you got a Twitter, but go ahead and plug out your information, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Besides the site, which you can get to, as you said, DaveMillicanBelts.com. If you can't remember all that, AceOfBelts.com, that's pretty easy. You can get me Twitter at Dave Milliken. Also, Facebook, Dave Milliken Championship Belts and Awards. So you can catch me at any of those places.
There y'all go, people. Stand on your feet for the Belt Smith. That's right, the Belt King. Punch on the Belt Smith. Stand up, y'all, for Dave Milliken, y'all. We'll be right back.
Yo, man, I'm definitely getting me a belt. I don't know about you guys out there, but I definitely will be getting that spot face custom. Chad, what about you? Okay. Hugo, you there? Well, it seems that Knox has me all by myself. Well, since everybody is listening, it is spot face. I am him. He is me. You can hit me up on the gram. That's Instagram, people, at Mr. 1985. That's Mr. Underscore 1985. Hit me up on that Twitter, at Spotface, SpotFace. And if you can't spell that, don't follow me. Since I got this Big Daddy Knox dude taking care of business. See, I'm a man of my word, people. I'm a man of my word. I lost a bet last week, and I stuck to it. A grown man calling another grown man Big Daddy.
That's right.
Like
say it. It's okay.
No. I just said it twice. Okay. I don't like you when they make
you. You're going to say it for the next 56 minutes. Okay? I'm going to get all my money's worth out of it because you ever think a team from New York can beat a team from Chicago again? You understand me?
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody beats the Cubs.
We're talking about when it matters.
Oh.
And you would pick on the Chicago Cubs. But we are back, y'all. What an interview. Chad is always being editorial. Let me back to being editorial because sometimes I be a fan, and I was a fan today, so I'm cool with that. You didn't like it? You can still check the interview out anyway. It's free on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, like I said.
My belt.
Go to the website. That's how I was talking to him off the air, how much my belt's going to cost. So,
Fusion of the Eurocontinental. A personal Eurocontinental title name will be even better than having both of them. I'm telling you.
See? I told you. But
yeah. Big Daddy Knox delivers, whatever.
like Big Brown. Listen, people, let's get into it real fast. We've been rehashing The Perfect Plex, Mike Knox. This is when I was the best damn show on radio, which I still am, by the way. Top 25 tag teams of all time. Just to recap, we had Hollywood Blondes, the Fabulous Freebirds, the Rockers, Demolition, Harlem Heat, Money Inc., Beer Money, the Varsity Club, the Mega Powers, the Russians, Dory, and Terry Funk. Now, 14, we have this week, oh, you didn't know? The New Age Outlaws. Shouts out to the Anawani family. They're family, so shut your mouth. They're on this list. 13, baby, the Wild Samoans. 12, the British Bulldogs. Look, as a kid, that was my favorite tag team, worth the mother. Number 11, the Outsiders. The Outsiders. Spot Face, there you have it, 14 to 11. We have the New Age Outlaws, the Wild Samoans, the British Bulldogs, the Outsiders on this list. And they're outside the top 10 because people, they just really came in wrestling in the wrong period of time. But they were still very dominant as a tag team. So I know the negativity is going to come. So, Spot, you have to wait to give me the negativity because I know you're biting it. Matter of fact, go ahead. Bite my head off.
No. Let's Chad super kick you first. All right. I don't know. I just would have thought the New Age Outlaws would have been a bit on the higher side just for the number of title reigns and
Well, hold on. I'm going to say the same thing I tell everybody. Before you be critical of a list, hear the whole list out first. Because I guarantee you, in the order and people that are above them, the first thing you said, they're all above them in that category. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. All right. As far as titles are concerned, I guarantee everybody in the top 10 have more titles than them.
I just feel like the Outsiders should have been higher than the Outlaws should have been higher than the Outsiders. I'm just saying. The Outsiders, like you said, they didn't do nothing for tag team wrestling. They did something for wrestling history, but they did nothing for tag team wrestling,
That completely different than the Mega Powers. For what they were put together for, to be the tag team, so Hogan could wear the title, they did everything with a tag team. As short-lived as it may have been for the 2 years they were together, but they dominated for the 2 years they were together. They single-handedly ran roughshod. Rather, we all know they were cheating, but we all loved it until we got annoyed with it. They ran roughshod over the tag team division, including beating your precious Harlem Heat multiple times.
Yeah, tag team for that. One could have been TV champion, another could have been U.S. champion, and it would have been fine. They didn't have to be tag team champion for that to get over.
Tell them why you mad, son. I thought that was my segment.
No, I'm just saying, they put them together because it made sense. They're coming from, you know, the Titan Tower up north, as Hogan put it, and them being in a clique. So I understand them being tag team partners, but they didn't do squats for tag team wrestling, but just push, just keep the big boot of Nash's on everybody's neck in tag team wrestling at the time.
Go ahead, Hugo. What you think about 14 through 11?
The only thing I'm gonna say is this: if I hear something else, you know, your list got to be good between 1 and 10 for you to be able to put the New Age Outlaws and the New Age Outlaws between 11 and 15. It's gotta be that way. That's all I gotta say. I ain't gonna critique you now.
Okay.
But you better have some damn good tag.
Okay. Listen. While you all are yelling at me, okay? I don't like being yelled at. That's my job, okay? I don't like to take it. I don't have to take it. That's why I made my own show. I don't write blogs. That's what it's up to King Von him for. That's what KME is for. I don't write blogs. I blog talk radio, okay? I am the voice of the voice for the voices of all you people who are afraid to have a voice, okay? And how dare y'all criticize my top 10? Listen. You all love me. Give me a hug. No broke back. This is real man love here, right? We're in the bar. We're not hugging each other like Kerry Rose and his boyfriend. This is man love, okay? If you know me as a wrestling fan, y'all respect me as a wrestling fan, and y'all respect this show of 4 years. Trust me, my top 10 is legitimate, okay? That's why the fans call me the Stephen A. Smith of pro wrestling. But that's okay, because next week, I'm just going to cold bust it out and get out a whole rest of the top 10, because I'm tired of this criticism. 347-637-3859.
25 or 34 could have been Mega Powers and Outsiders, and the list would have been fine going on. You cannot have the New Age Outlaws for all that they've done and all that they contributed to the Attitude Era.
I can. First of all, okay, first First of all, okay, I can justify why they're where they are. Okay.
Please
now,
do.
Okay. When a person makes a list, right? Somewhere in their list, because it's their list, right? You know, like if you put peanut butter on your thing and your dog licked it, it's okay because it was your dog. It's my list. Okay. So you go by kind of, even though you try not to, who you liked, right? I'm not saying I dislike the Outlaws. I love the Outlaws. But compared to the British Bulldogs, no, they were not better, which you're only arguing where they are. You're not arguing. So you're telling me that they go above the British Bulldogs? They've done more for tag team wrestling? Let's think about it. Tag team.
The Bulldogs
team,
are intertwined with the Hawks.
Hold on. Can I finish? You said you were giving me 2 minutes. First of all, you can say they intertwined whoever you want to intertwine with. They danced with the Hearts, but they danced with everybody in that 80s in tag team wrestling, and they were very successful and dominant. So come on, brother, that's the era I grew up in. You just watched it. I know what I'm talking about. That's why. What's my name?
Big
hello?
Game,
okay, that's why I came up with the name, because I'm schooling y'all. I got to father you people here and the expertise of wrestling. 347-637-3859, okay?
Possibly so.
And again, and I apologize. We came up with a new show time. We wanted to add some content to the show, and I could not find the criteria. And Spot, you got to give it a little bit more credit. I'm thinking, when am I going to get the credit? You think, okay, every list we've ever put together, we had a criteria. So if I put them above for the criteria reasons, you got to recognize that.
I didn't know the criteria,
yeah,
because...
Give me time, dog. I'm 4 years. It's 3-4 years ago. I can't... Come on. That's like I even found the piece of paper that had it on there.
Whatever. You disrespected my Outlaws.
I'm an outlaw fan. Listen, when the franchise players make a list, then the franchise players can discuss their own tag team list. Until then, this is my list. Okay.
You're land storming my Outlaws right now. You are land storming my Outlaws. And for all those who don't know what that means, Lance Storm should have been WCW World Heavyweight Champion. He had every other belt in the company at one time, and they didn't give him the main one. So right now, you're not giving the Outlaws their just due by putting them in the main slot, which would be 11 or in that top 10. You're land storming my Outlaws.
I have no idea. 347-637 3859.
Lance Storm is the word of the day. I'm going to tweet him that, too. Lance Storm is the word of the program. If I got to say Big Daddy Knox, I'm following up with Lance Storm.
Well, no, you don't do the hell you're not. That's not the deal. Now, before we go on, something was said earlier, and I kind of want to give Chad a chance to speak on it. He didn't get a chance to speak on it. You said during the show about our comment, our saying that we made up, Vince McMahon didn't screw the fans. The fans screwed the fans. You're sticking up for fandoms in your area. So in the king of the world in which you perceive, you don't agree with that statement?
No, not 100, not wholeheartedly. I mean, the fans, you're obviously going to have your meatball fans that read everything they believe and everything like that. But I'm not going to put this solely on the shoulders of the fans. I mean, a lot of it is from Vince McMahon and the WWE with what they're bringing out and their content, what's going on. If they're not appeasing the fans and they're not keeping up with the current trends and, you know, what's hot in the wrestling business and trying to be innovative, then it's definitely not the fans' fault, because the product is sour, so the fans are going to sour on it. That's just how it goes.
Spot?
Okay, I will say this, since I am the creator of the fans, screw the fans. I feel that if you thought that CM Punk going into the Royal Rumble was truly going to defeat The Rock, and you got mad behind that, then, sir, a fan screwed up.
Screwed a fan.
Because you knew damn well, with all the slates of Hollywoodness that he's got going on currently, with Pain Gain, Fast and the Furious coming up, G.I. Joe in March, you knew that man was winning that title. And just like if you thought, honestly, which we all had some degree of feeling that Punk could defeat Taker, but if you went ahead and bet a week's paycheck or some rent money,
or call me Big Daddy Knox. Sorry.
on Punk beating Taker and ending the streak, then you're a fan who screwed a fan. If you have hopes of thinking Kofi Kingston will be the WWE champion one day, then, sir, you're a fan who screwed a fan. And that's what I mean by that statement. Vince is going to screw us all the time. Without moving, without our permission, we get that. No problem.
And I can understand, you know, what you're saying.
No Vaseline. They didn't even spit on it.
Yeah, with the fan being delusional, I can understand what you're saying. I mean, that's just a small thing. But if we're talking grand scheme of things and, you know, why WWE isn't as hot, it's definitely not the fan's fault for that.
But then we're not like he said, his tail end of that was, we're not saying, hey, you know, they didn't do it to us as well. But as your tag team partner would say, we get our hopes up and then you get mad when it doesn't happen. So fans screw the fans. But, hey, people, this week we got a new segment. Why? Because, damn it, we keep just retooling things around here, and we can do that because we live in a VIP where you wish you could try to get up here and be next to me, but you can't. But this week, the franchise players gives you the franchise match of the week.
I think it's Triple H and Kane. The referee on the outside, and so are the Undertaker. And Austin, wait a minute. Stephanie just gave her husband a little title belt, the championship belt. Austin knocked over the railing by the Undertaker. But meanwhile, Triple H has the title in his hand. Kane barely able to stand. Triple H took the last ride. He's barely able to stand. But Triple H is going to win, and he got knocked back in his face. My God, after all this, Mr. McMahon with a sledgehammer. Wait a minute. Oh, the elbow. The sledgehammer. Mr. McMahon was going for the ride, but the game's got the sledgehammer. And right ahead, oh, my God. McMahon throwing the referee. Give the referee up. The sledgehammer. It came in the head. No.
No, damn it! Triple H is always do what it do. If you don't like it, screw you. I'm the game, baby. Ooh. Go ahead, Spotface. The franchise players match of the week, 2001. Look at that. Without even tagging in Chad, that was in his this week in wrestling. It just came in my head, and I decided to do it. But 2001 Backlash. I did it because the Brother of Destruction are back, and Triple H is always involved with something. But Spot, our match of the week, what you think?
You know, I was a huge fan of the Power Trip.
I really
was, because honestly, even though I get flack for giving Hunter all the backstage beef and the discredit of doing everything he does, I am a huge Triple H fan. For those who know, I have several passwords when I do things with Bret HHH Hart, because I was a huge Bret Hart Triple H fan. So, with that being said, I thought the Power Trip was great. Winning the tag titles was great. You had Triple H with the Intercontinental, Stone Cold with the WWF title. They won the tag titles. They completed the Power Trip, although short-lived. I thought it was pretty damn cool.
Spot? I mean, shoot, I almost did KME. Chad?
We miss you, KME.
Yeah, I understand. The match was good. I mean, the Power Trip was hot at the time. But, I don't know, for me, this was kind of like unnecessary for the team to win the tag titles, because he kind of hot shot in it, because before the Brothers of Destruction had it, they beat Edge and Christian, who were, you know, hot as could be at the time, and then you hot shot them.
Grease? You can say, yeah. Chad, how does fish grease?
Yeah.
But, hold on. But that's what the whole gimmick was about, though, the two-man power trip. You know,
I can understand that, but to me, it just kind of devalued the titles when they were getting tossed around, and almost, you know, kind of led to the fall of a tag team, you know, of the what we saw brought up in the Attitude Era, when it was kind of, you know, how Vince was kind of making a little bit of a glass ceiling when you had your guys up on top, but the under guys that were, you know, were hot at the time, you know, just kind of set the early bricks of what we kind of see today with this whole glass ceiling that came.
Well, to me, that glass ceiling, everything that revolves around that glass ceiling, I just kicked it out like Stone Cold coming through the music door. Listen, I'm not with that glass ceiling thing. Even though it makes a lot of points to today's relevancy, back in the day, it didn't then. Because
Jeff Hardy beat Triple H for the IC title on SmackDown.
See what I'm saying? You know, like, back then, it was those guys, the gimmick itself, the power trip, it was no different than the corporation. It was no different than the mega powers. It really wasn't. It was just an attitude version of those things, Spot.
It was supposed. The same thing was supposed to happen with Rated RKO. I feel. Mm-hmm. I think the power trip with Triple H's injury was short lived. I did think it was going to culminate, you know, with them losing the titles and then eventually Austin going face on Triple H. You know, we pretty much. I thought that's what WWE had planned. So we can't really, you know, put our nose. How's the expression? Thumb our nose down to the power trip because it didn't happen out. It didn't pan out for what it was supposed to be. But I see what Chad is saying. But you mean the Brothers of Destruction had the tag title?
Right.
I mean, come on. Taker and Kane was already former WWE champions and didn't need it either. When they beat Edge and Christian, those guys didn't need it. They could have just been the Brothers of Destruction without even ever having the tag titles, in my opinion, because we knew who they were and we knew they could legitimately beat your ass. But they put the titles on them because it was something that was needed.
See,
like
my
power trip. Go ahead.
No, my whole thing with that, Chad, and I got a lot of people just inbox me and tweeted out to me that same echoed your sentiments, Chad, as far as the glass ceiling and putting other people down. And my thing is, the land of the world before the internet got so involved to me was just so much better for wrestling. And that's where, for me, I subscribe to the fans, screw the fans point of view, because I didn't care about that back then. I don't know why all of a sudden now we care about it. So, and I'm not ripping what you're saying, Chad. I'm adding to what other people are echoing your sentiments again, like I said. I didn't look at it that those guys shouldn't have beat the Brothers of Destruction. I looked at it as, okay, yeah, I'm a fan of Triple H. Stone Cold in my top 10 list for being my favorite, it's not even in my top 10 list. I'm not dissing Stone Cold for my favorite list. He went against all my favorite guys. I love Stone Cold, but for me, he's not my top 10 list, and I still loved that whole era of Stone Cold Steve Austin at that time, Chad. So I guess a lot of people feel exactly what you're saying, that they put down Edge and Christian and all those other kind of guys, but to get back that, all of the guys still got titles. I know Christian just got his, but obviously their window on their grade, since we had the draft last week, their grade on Christian wasn't as high as, say, Mel Kiper's and other people that are out there. Chad, you want to answer into that before I get Hugo's opinion of the match?
I don't know. My thing, I know before that you said, well, they did the same thing with the corporation and stuff like that, but they don't seem that it was, you know, a lot of guys in that group were getting the rub, too. I mean, it wasn't just solely based on two guys' shoulders that had all the belts at once.
Right.
You know, so it was way different than comparing it to a faction of some sort. But I can kind of see what you're saying. I see it through your eyes. I'm not going to totally bash it because, you know, it's your opinion on the whole
Chad, you just did everything that makes me happy to do radio. When you said, I'm not going to bash your opinion, I'm going to see it through your eyes. That's all I've ever – when I argue points, that's all I'm trying to get you guys to see is see through other eyes. You know what I mean? Because we stay together as a barbershop when we don't agree 98% of the time on things unless something really, really sucks. You know what I mean?
But another thing that you mentioned, too, to kind of combat – the rise of the IWC and, you know, how that's kind of created a decline. Well, another thing, too, I mean, just to combat that, is when the IWC started rising up, that's, of course, when Vince McMahon, he had no competition. He
right.
could do, you know, get away and do whatever the hell he wanted to on program because he didn't have to do anything. And, you know, that's where I kind of come to that, too, because from you know, early 2000s, or let's just say when WCW, ECW, when they went out of business, we've started seeing the decline started right happen there. There's not really hasn't been much freshness in the product from, you know, a television standpoint. We still have the same, you know, camera lookup setup. They may have changed a bit in the backstage interactions, but, you know, we're looking at the same, you know, laid out product and how
the stage,
how
everything else. Yeah, I feel that, and it ain't my fault.
You know what, I look around here and I can't help but notice we're not in a bingo hall, and I'm not one of your cronies from the 90s.
I'm sorry, I didn't make him say that. Hugo, the two-man power trip versus the Brothers of Destruction. but you love that era?
Yeah, I love that era, and that's actually kind of funny that you know you chose this because I actually watched the match yesterday, and you know I remember I marked out when Triple H and Stone Cold, you know, won the titles. I just like you all, you know, I was a Triple H mark, you know, back in the day, 99, 2000, 2001, when you started seeing Triple H rising up, seeing him to come into success. You know, so I really enjoyed that. It's, you know, it really sucked what happened with Triple H when he went in with the injury because we don't know what could have happened right after that. But you know, one thing that I liked about the whole match is that it also escalated for Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit to actually, you know, catapult to that next level. Mm-hmm. So it was actually good when Jericho and Benoit won it from, you know, from Austin and Triple H, because then you started seeing Jericho, Benoit, and Austin in triple threat matches and things like that, and seeing the brand new talent. So it was actually kind of like a transition to get those exposure from those old WCW guys to come into the WWE and have fresh new matches and stuff like that. So I love that match. That was a great match in my opinion as well.
Hold on here. Is this a barbershop? Is this a barbershop?
Yes, it's a barbershop.
I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation.
Listen, Hugo, right there, what you said, the fact of the eras and things like that. People, things are different. I love us as wrestling fans. I really do. Hey,
I'm gonna tell y'all why I'm hardcore.
Not because I spell my name with three X's. Not because Spotface has to call me. What's my name, Spot?
Big Daddy Knox.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What's my name?
Big Daddy Knox.
Not because of that. Not because I just made a grown man call me Big Daddy Knox is why I'm hardcore. Not because my wife just says that's what I am. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I'm hardcore. Because y'all get on my damn nerves. Listen, now... You ready for this one, Chad? Ryback is the new fourth member of The Shield. Yes, The Shield that we all love so much. The Shield. Believe in The Shield. I believe. If you don't believe, damn it, then guess what? Get some Visine and clear your eyes out because them brothers are for real. They landed in helicopters and got in a Range Rover like freaking Evolution. Okay, they're going to do something.
Evolution!
They're going to do something. Evolution! They're going to do something. Evolution! Okay, I'm sorry. Evolution! They're going to do something. I'm trying to get the voice, and I can't quite get it. They're going to do something very big with these guys, and I just don't think that Ryback is a part of that. But, you know, I don't... Feed me less Ryback. Although I'm liking Ryback and Cena, Spot pretty much don't like it too much. But Chad, you have your ears to the concrete. What's up with that rumor? Ryback to The Shield?
I don't know. God, I hope it's false because I think it's bad for everything. And
everything.
Everyone in that situation. I mean, The Shield, they're coming off the huge wins right now. They're the hottest thing going in the WWE right now. You know, we can say all we want about Brock Lesnar, but when we come away from shows, what do we remember for the last couple weeks? The Shield. And adding Ryback to that would make no sense whatsoever, considering that he's gotten beat down by The Shield like 10 times. They laid him out and put him through that table. It makes no sense, you know, storyline. And then it also kind of hurts Ryback, too, because the fans are kind of, even the hardcore ones like us, I love The Shield, and you know you're going to put Ryback with them. Well, that automatically diminishes The Shield in our eyes because you know you got to have this figurehead type guy be the Ryback, which the fans kind of crap on, and also for Ryback too because we want to make him you know this beast. And why does he need to partner with a group of people to get things done? It just kind of goes against the premise of this whole character that he's been laid out to be. But I just hope that this rumor is false. I don't see anything that would really hint to that in the product. I think they're going to go their two separate ways. We haven't really seen that much hinting at it. I just think The Shield's just kind of been out there, you know, running how they usually do and just kind of being foils. But
do you think they have someone at all join them, Spot Faces? I know Jazz has said what I echo. If it's not Randy Orton, which I've been proven wrong with that, it would be somebody from the NXT. But I'm going to go back and say what I believe KME said before, and I think you've also said it. They don't need a fourth member. They really don't.
They're
great on the mic themselves. They wrestle good themselves. They stick up for each other themselves. There's no Kofi Beware in there. Kofi Beware. Shout out to King Vaughn for that name. But, I mean, go ahead, Spot.
I feel like Chad said, if Ryback is the fourth member, wouldn't you want him to win the WWE Championship when he had the chance?
Exactly.
I'm just saying. I mean, there's no other time for him to
maybe he didn't give him. Maybe they didn't beat him enough at that time. He wasn't, you know.
Oh, really? They've been beating him the same way, putting him through tables from jump. Like, there's never been an opportunity where they've jumped somebody else with Ryback in the ring, and they didn't jump Ryback.
If Ryback joins him, I mean, excuse my language, but it makes him look like the biggest puss in the world because he
Goldberg
can't beat himself.
Didn't need nobody.
He joins. Yeah.
Goldberg didn't have nobody. Stone Cold took on a nation by himself. So I feel like you said, they were just cheaping Ryback to the 100th power for him to have to join the Shield. And for the Shield, they have a muscle. So they have a muscle for the muscle? That's never been done before.
Hugo.
Go ahead, Hugo.
If they're going to go ahead and tarnish the justice, it would just be unbearable. Like, you know, Ryback doesn't need to, you know, to be the fourth member of the Shield because the Shield works as themselves, and to actually have a quote-unquote leader type, you know, especially in a guy like Ryback, you're just tarnishing what they've actually done since December. You know, we can't be having that. You know, we need to have these guys, like to say, that they're the outlaws. They're here to bring justice. And I don't know what I'll do if that happens, to be honest with you. I'll be pissed. I'll be a pissed off IWC fan.
Yo,
if Ryback joins the Shield, I riot.
I'm sorry. I echo those sentiments as well. I'm sorry. I got a whiff of something that's not wrestling related that was sent to me. My man Chris Broussard called homosexuality a sin today on ESPN, and I gotta say, hey. To each their own. 347-637-3859. I mean, I'm all for equal rights and all, but hey.
The Bible is the Bible.
Before we get up out of here, because our time is short, we hold your TNA spotlight for you. You got a quick one, Spot, before we got out of here, because I'm going to go ahead and get a little raw.
Yeah, let me go ahead with this real quick. TNA, please. Word on the street is, right, last week on your product, I didn't watch it, I'm not going to lie, I have a life. It don't revolve around Impact. Not that Impact. Shout out to Corey G. It might not, you know, Thursday, not 8:30 p.m., right?
8:30.
All right, yeah, cool. Shout out to that. That's Impact being Thursdays. That's what I'll be about. But TNA, you had Hogan, Bully Ray going at it. Hogan got the upper hand. Bully Ray scours the ring. Then you had Aces of Eights. The group y'all rebuilt up since it's been damn near a year. Finally built them up strong enough for us to fear him as fans to attack Hogan. The lights go out. Who's going to attack? Who's going to come in? Is it AJ Styles who sides with TNA? Is it Matt Morgan who TNA desperately needs a strong face? It stings, old ass. Old ass, crinkly painted face. It stings with his older baseball bat. Now, I didn't know if I was watching TNA in 2013 or an episode of Nitro in, like, 01, 02, if I'm not even 99 at that point. I mean, come on, guys. Can y'all be TNA and not WCW 2.0? Just keep it chilling with me. Help me out, Chad.
My problem with that whole ending was we've seen Aces and Eights. They beat down all the babyface roster. They beat down, hell, almost all the roster. And your two saviors for this are two guys that are way past their prime and don't need to be in that situation whatsoever. Sting, he still goes. You know, he's okay. He's respectable. But at this point in his career, he needs to do what The Undertaker is doing, just come out to be that special attraction, come out to, you know, have it mean something. He doesn't need to be in that top guy spotlight that he is right there. You're telling me that, you know, your younger guys aren't worth a damn because these older guys can beat them up. They've been beaten down.
Right.
They beat down all your roster. And that's just my problem with that finish and what they've done in TNA is, yet again, like we've seen since Hogan and, even a little bit before that, but prominently since Hogan and them joined, is that it's all about him and the older crew and not putting over the younger talent, which might be catching fire and might do something for your company.
I don't think the guys care. Like we said before, as far as TNA WWE is concerned, they have their own agenda.
Forget that. The day when Hogan wins that title at Slammiversary, I'm letting it be known, we will no longer in the history of Purple Plex Talk Radio talk TNA ever again.
Okay.
Can we just agree to that? In the barbershop, I'm asking Hugo, Che, I'm sure Tammy would agree out there. We just never speak of them again because you know that's what's going to happen.
We can't do that. We have an audience to TNA, and we must discuss
TNA.
They
shouldn't listen to it. They shouldn't tune into TNA either. The day Hogan's old, decrepit, sex tape making ours wins that title should be the day we no longer mess with that company. Period. That's the same if Flair got in the ring right now and beat John Cena and became WWE champion.
What are you expecting from the night's Raw that you're looking forward to seeing?
The Shield.
There it is. There it is. I'm with you on that. I reserve right. I still say, people, turn your attention to NXT. It's such a better program. It really is. Wrestling, you want to get your wrestling fix, you go to NXT. You want to get your entertainment fix, they're trying to entertain you. That's what Raw is for. I want to see what's going on with Dolph Ziggler in that triple threat match. I'm going to be interested in the Shield tag teaming against, see what happens with Ryback and Cena. Do they try to coexist? You never know. It is Super Cena. Again, people from the world of wrestling, Mark isms. Tomorrow they're going to announce tonight. You got the best of the volume one. I think is going to be of In Your House. That I think that's awesome trilogy to have. I will definitely get my hands.
Worst wrestling video game of all time, though.
It was. It truly was up on there.
Yeah, that one sucked.
But guys, we're going to get up out of here. Time is short. I try to go to 8 o'clock, guys, but I can't. I'm getting home from work. My kids is in the room. I'm hungry. So we're going to get up out of here.
Well, I'm hungry, too.
Like
we too. Right here. I'm hungry.
We're all hungry.
We're all hungry.
We're all hungry.
Like I said, don't wake up in the middle of the day every morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat, and you don't love God. What is up with that? I am still the best damn song ready if you don't like it.
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, Mike Knox really keeps his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check it. You're the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show. And radio.